The book of Luke, chapter 10. You see in verse 42 that Jesus says, but one thing is needful. This evening I want to, just in our Bible study, speak on that. The one thing that is needful. The one thing that is needful. There are two kingdoms. There's a physical kingdom in the Scripture, you know, that Christ is going to set up his millennial kingdom. In the Old Testament, there were kingdoms in Israel. So there are physical kingdoms. We know the Gentile kingdoms, Babylon. We know in regard to the Mede and Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And yet there's also a spiritual kingdom. And if you remember, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was brought before Pilate, he was being accused of hurting or uprising against the kingdom. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And there is a kingdom. And this certainly is a division. Now, within the spiritual kingdom, there are things that we do for God, and there are things that we do with God. And just as there's two kingdoms, physical and spiritual, there's two spiritual aspects, the things we do for God and the things we do with God. And there's not a better illustration of that than what we see in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I want to just look at this passage here this evening. It tells us in verse 38, we first of all see the welcome in Bethany. There was a welcome in Bethany. In verse 38, it came to pass, as they went, here are Jesus and his apostles. Now think about this, there's a whole group of them. There's Jesus and he had his 12 disciples. And it tells us they entered into a certain village. Now we know, according to John chapter 12, verse 1, that village is Bethany. And this is the home of Mary and Martha. And the Scripture tells us that there, in this village, was a certain woman named Martha. She received her into, received him into her house. So basically, we understand that Mary and Martha were very close to Jesus, and they naturally, just like many of you do, naturally, and it should be something that we should be willing to do, to have somebody over. And the Scripture tells us that they decided to invite Jesus and the gang. And you get a bunch of 13 men into a household, that can fill up a living space very quickly. And certainly I'm sure that Martha was looking forward to it, but was probably very, very nervous, wouldn't you? And to think that you were having Jesus over to your house. And of course, Jesus knows all things. And so she must have really looked forward to it. And she invited him over. Now, as a Christian, Jesus ought to always be invited to us, or in all our activities, right? And regardless of what we're doing, we talk about secular and sacred, whatever we're doing, we ought to invite Jesus to join us. Now that's a good test, isn't it? Could I ask Jesus to do this with me? Now of course when we're talking about principles of how to know what's right and wrong, one of the questions you often ask is that, you know, would Jesus feel comfortable doing what I'm doing? And so there was the welcome in Bethany. Secondly, we see the worship of Mary. Now here we're told in verse 39, she had a sister. Martha had a sister called Mary. And we're told that that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Now, Mary understood something. She understood that Jesus is the person that I want to get answers to. And so as a result, she took advantage of the opportunity. You know, I think of over the years where, especially when I was younger, and this is why I'm really baffled by sometimes the younger generation. Now people don't need Jesus. They have Google. You know, and I say that facetiously, but I don't need to pick somebody's brain because all I got to do is get on the internet and I can find out any answer I want. Well, that's not the way it was when I was young. I remember I traveled with Dr. Otis Holmes. He was the brother-in-law to Dr. Bob Jones Jr., and we traveled on a church planning team, and we actually went west, and west, Kansas was west of where I'm from in Michigan, and we went from Kansas to Oklahoma to California to Washington to Oregon, Colorado, and we did all of this. And I traveled with Dr. Holmes, and I remember thinking, you know, this is a great opportunity. Dr. Otis Holmes was a great soul winner, and I used to just pick his brain. He probably got a little irritated with me because I was always asking him questions. Now, we were in that church, Dr. Holmes, but what, you know, I noticed they did this. What do you think about that? Those kind of things. And you know, so you start picking the brain of someone that you have respect. And certainly Mary had respect for Jesus, and she was just finding out everything she can about Jesus, because it tells us there that she heard His word. And it's important that we understand that even today we need to take opportunity to learn about Jesus every chance we get. And we know that we can learn about Jesus, right? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word, and He is the living Word. The Bible is the written Word, and the written Word never contradicts the living Word. And we ought to truly take advantage of finding out as much as we can about Jesus. So verse 38, we see the welcome of in Bethany. Verse 39, we see the worship of Mary. But in verse 40, we see the worry of Martha. And we're told that Mary, while she's sitting there enjoying the fellowship with Jesus, Martha, man, she had a company, man. She had to take care of these people. And it says she was, as it says, cumbered about, verse 40, with about much serving. Now the word cumbered there means she was distracted. And she was really just constantly trying to probably get food out, try to get make sure things were done, and people were, you know, their needs were met, and all of these things. And she looks over and she sees Mary. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And it tells us that Martha looks to Jesus and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" Now that's an interesting question. Don't you care? Now Jesus has been asked that question before. Remember when He was in the ship and there was between the waves and the storm. And the disciples asked, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Well, this is what Martha was doing. She said, "Don't you care, Lord, that my good-for-nothing, lazy sister," I'm reading between the lines, "has left me to do all the serving alone. Now, Lord, tell her to get up and help." And Martha got distracted by her many activities. Now, was there anything wrong with this activity? No, there was nothing wrong with her serving. But she was distracted because she kept looking at Mary and she kept looking at what she had to do, and she probably got a little bent out of shape. And I personally, myself, I get a sense that Martha may have been the older one, Mary the younger one. And maybe she's used to telling Mary what to do. But she's basically saying, you know, there's a real need here. We really need to get some stuff done. Now, I like to ask the question, what is a need? What is a need? Now, there's many needs, right? And sometimes it's not an issue that it's insignificant so much, is that some needs are more important than other needs. So I'm hungry. I need to eat, right? Well, what do I mean by that? Does that mean I need to eat or I'm going to die? Now, if I haven't eaten for several days, maybe I'm thinking, well, I got to have some food. You know, so I could use that in the sense that I really need that. Or am I basically saying that if I don't eat, I could get sick? That's possible, because sometimes when a person hasn't eaten, especially if they're sick, or they're potentially going to get sick, you better eat something or it's not going to be good for you. That's exactly what the witch of Endor said to King Saul. You know, you better eat something. Or does it mean that if I need to eat in order to keep from being hungry? Now, what I have just described to you are three levels of a need. And if I don't eat that meal, and it's only because it's time to eat, well, I'll just have to wait till the next meal. But if I don't eat and it could kill me, then, you know, that's a very serious thing. And I think it's important that we understand that sometimes things may seem necessary, but it may not be as important as we think it is. Sometimes our tendency is to think that this need, everything else is going to rise and fall on this, and it just could be, you know, okay, I don't get to do something. So we've looked at the welcome in Bethany. We've seen the worship of Mary. We saw the worry of Martha. But in verses 41 and 42, we see the will of Jesus. And I'm sure Martha probably thought, you know, he'll get her going. And it's interesting because in verse 41, Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And now, when he uses the idea "are careful," that is a different word than "dost thou not care" in verse 40. It's the same word that's translated in Matthew chapter 6, where it talks about not being anxious. Or, as you'll see in Philippians, "be careful for nothing." That means don't worry. So what Jesus says, "Mary, you are worrying and you're very bothered, you're very troubled about a lot of things." But he says in verse 42, "but one thing is needful." Okay, so if we're going to measure all the things that have to happen, there's one thing that is most important. And we're told in verse 42 that Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's almost like Jesus said, I'm not going to tell her that. She's doing the most important thing. Now, I don't think he was trying to say that housework and preparation for company isn't important. But again, we're looking at, okay, the most important thing. And Jesus says that the most important was not necessarily busyness and doing things. So in other words, as I mentioned, there are two kingdoms. There's the physical, there's the spiritual. But within the kingdom of the spiritual, there's things we do for Jesus, which Martha was doing, and there's the things that we do with Jesus, which is what Mary was doing. And giving Jesus our time is the most important thing in life. I'm not coming up with this. Jesus said that. And when we consider the fact that the will of Jesus is that if there's anything we don't want to overlook is our time with Jesus. Now, most times you can do both, right? But sometimes we pick and choose. So by way of application, the most needful thing is a right relationship with God. And of all the things that you've done today, has that been at the top of your list? Of all the things that you've done this week, has that been at the top of your list? So the most important thing, being the right relationship with God, it is therefore essential that we take in consideration three things. All right, number one, in order to have a right relationship with God, it's essential that you consider your scheduling. Your scheduling. And when we consider our schedules, we have to understand that, you know, there's some things that we don't have control over our own schedules. If we work a job, you know, there's certain things that we have to do. But there's that aspect of time that you are importantly needing to make sure that you block out a time with God. Now, I've learned something over the years. Now, I'm going to say something that to me at least is profound. And I want you to consider this. And that is a person with wrong priorities who say they love God will schedule God around their activities. So in other words, I got this to do, 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 I got this to do. Oh, let me just kind of fit God into this. And a person whose priorities are wrong, you know for a fact that what ends up happening is that if you're not careful, God is crowded out. Have you ever seen that illustration where they take and put some rocks in a jar? You ever seen that? And then take some smaller pebbles and put them in the jar and put then sand in the jar? And basically what that says is, okay, if you put the wrong order in, you're not going to get as much in that jar. Now, if I had time, we'd maybe try to illustrate that. But it's important that we understand that if the most important thing is the most important thing, then that's the first thing I need to make sure happens in a day. And a person with wrong priorities tries to make God fit into their schedule. But a person with right priorities schedules his activities around God. See, this is why people who are committed to the Lord, they make sure they're in church. They make sure they're reading their Bible. They make sure they're doing the things that they ought to be doing. And then they get jobs and they get activities and they get hobbies and so forth, and they may try to fill that in. So it is essential that since God deserves first place, that we consider our schedule. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. And then all these things will take care of themselves. That's what Jesus says. So it is essential then to consider your scheduling. It's also, since there are many things you need to do in a day, it's essential that you consider your activities for God. Now, I want you to think about something now. Okay, and this is where it kind of hits home for us. Because when we go to the Bible, Jesus was interested not only what people did, but why they did it. Am I right or wrong? So in other words, motive is more important than doing things. You know, I can do things because I have to. But the greatest commandment is not do, do, do. The greatest commandment is love. So you go to the scripture and you find out that this is why Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, okay, it's wrong to kill, but let me tell you something, it's even worse and it's just as bad to hate. Or it's wrong to commit the act of adultery, but let me tell you, he says it's worse, or in many ways, and the reason it's worse, because if you do not control the inner man, it's going to come out in its actions, so it's even worse to lust after somebody in their heart. So, 1 Samuel 15:22, remember, we're told that Samuel said to King Saul, because remember, he was supposed to sacrifice. And what did Samuel say? To obey is better than sacrifice. Okay, yeah, you went through the religious motion, but you did it with a disobedient heart. Jesus says in Matthew 5, when you bring your gift to the altar, that's great, but first, if you find out you have aught against somebody else, leave that altar, go deal with that person, and then come back and offer your sacrifice. And it's important that we understand that there is this sense in which religious activity can be sometimes just a cover-up for rebellion. Many will say to me in that day, Matthew chapter 7 says, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, prophesied? Haven't we done, have we exorcised demons out of people? Have we not done miracles? And Jesus said, but the problem is you didn't deal with your heart. So depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You don't know me. And we find that our activities, okay, we're in prayer meeting, and I don't want to belittle that at all. I thank you for coming. But where's your heart? See, the one thing that's needful is not that you came. Now, I don't suggest you not come. But the one thing that's needful, that you're following the Lord, loving the Lord. And then finally, and I've got to bring this to a close, that the application of the one thing that is needful is not only should we consider our scheduling, not only should we consider our activities for God, but we ought to consider our worship. And the most important thing you can do each day is set a time, aside time, to talk to God and let Him talk to you. And it's important that we understand that if we're going to worship, Jesus said we must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. The book of Revelation tells us that there was a church that was doing a lot of things, and it was the church at Ephesus. But the problem is they had left what? Their first love. So Jesus is trying to teach us something through Mary and Martha. I don't think He was being unappreciative of the work Martha went into. But He is telling us that there is one thing that is most needful. And by God's grace, let's make sure that we don't be like those who are always skipping church because they got this to do and they got this to do and they got this activity. Don't be doing that. Make sure that you're right with the Lord and schedule your activities around your walk with God. And serve Him with the right heart and worship Him with the right attitude. Our Father, You are a gracious God to us. And Lord, it's so hard sometimes when we think about the high demands that You put upon us. And Lord, help us never to think that the external it's proper to neglect the internal because we're doing the external. Help us, Lord, to put You first and to love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we'll praise You for it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.